الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
فلما وضعتها قالت رب إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من كانت له بنت فأدبها فأحسن أدبها وعلمها فأحسن تعليمها وأسبغ عليها من نعم الله التي أسبغ الله عليه كانت له سترا أو حجابا من النار أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, I think first I would like to express my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for affording me this privilege to be on this momentous occasion. Such a get together, such a unique majma'ah that wallah, the ayat kareema that I recited, generally the perception is وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوْ أَن يُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابُ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ. Allah addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was not in your aspiration, nor in your desire, nor in your wildest dreams that I am going to honor you and favor you and make you the cream of my creation. It was when you came to the age of 40 and I crowned you with prophethood, at that time you realized my noble intentions with you. Perhaps if we ask the mothers of these daughters when this daughter was born, the pain they experienced, the parents, who knew this day was to come that this daughter is going to bring such honor to us, such honor, such respect, that in the ayat kareema that I recited, Allah speaks about the mother of Maryam alayhi salam. That when the mother of Maryam, everybody speaks about Mary and Isa alayhi salam, the miraculous birth. But when the mother of Maryam went into labor, and look at the vision of a Muslim woman, at the very time she conceived, she made a pledge to Allah. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي. Oh Allah, whatever is in my womb, hoping that it is a male. Hoping that it is a male, because the expectations of servitude and devotion to your deen are generally understood and manifested at the hands of males. Hence, whatever is in my womb, at the very moment of conception, I make a pledge to you, O Allah, that when I'm going to give birth to this child, and inshallah it will be a male, I will hand him over to the service of your deen. In Tafsir Uthmani it is written, I will have no other aspiration from this child, no other desire. More than often today, we have that intention when the couple cannot bear children. At that time, we have noble agendas. حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا لَإِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah says, yes, in the initial stages, when they cannot conceive or they conceive, at that time they say, oh Allah, bless me with a normal child, bless me with a healthy child, bless me with a pious child, and I promise you my child will be used exclusive for your deen. But Allah says, on the contrary, when the child is born, then the child is used for everything other than the deen of Allah. But the mother of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam made her pledge from the very moment of conception. Allah ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha wa ma tadhidhu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bimiqdar. Read what the commentators have written under the commentary of this ayat, that Allah is fully acquainted with every move that takes place in the womb of that female, and whatever decree is been decided, mukhallaqatin am ghayri mukhallaqa. The angels ask Allah, Allah, must this child be formed totally normal, or must we send this child abnormal in this world? At that very moment when the mother is abusing her sight, if Allah so wanted, He could grudge the fetus on relation to the crime of the mother and say, no, deprive this child of sight, the mother has abused the sight. At that very critical moment when my mother is abusing her sight, Allah out of His sheer mercy decides, just not for eyes, but for the best of eyes for that fetus. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا. When she bears this child and she delivers this child, قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. Oh Allah, but she's a girl.
Allah, I thought it's going to be a boy. Allah, a girl won't be able to bring that honor to me. Allah, a girl cannot be accepted in the manner a boy will be accepted. Allah, the privileges you've promised and the intention I have, what did Allah say? وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُكَ الْأُنْتَى. Perhaps there are males to whom we honor and to whom we revere. But Allah said, this is such a female that no male can be equal to this female. What did Allah say? وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُكَ الْأُنْتَى. There are many males and everybody perhaps admires them and envies them. الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It forms the honor of a man, it forms the glory of a man, it forms the pride of a man. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُكَ الْأُنْتَى. But this is such a female that no male can be equal to this female. And that is Maryam alayhi salam. In the riwayat of Mishkat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when a child is born, doctors give different medical explanations while the child cries. فَيَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا مِّمْ مَسْتِ الشَّيْطَانِ غَيْرُ مَرْيَمْ وَإِبْنِهَا. Nabi alayhi salam says, at the birth of a child, children cry. From the spiritual perspective, Nabi alayhi salam says, is because the devil expresses his hatred to that child. And the devil intimidates that child. The child barely exits. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when the devil was expelled from the court of Allah, then at that very time the devil made a pledge in the court of Allah and the devil said, وَعِزَّتِكَ يَا رَبِّ لَا أَبْرَحُ أُغْوِي عِبَادَكَ مَا دَامَتْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَجْسَادِهِمْ. Oh Allah, now that you've expelled me and sent me on this earth, I make a pledge to you, I will continue misleading and beguiling your servants as long as their souls remain in their bodies. And even at the critical moment of death, when the soul is departing, not for a moment that the devil withdraw or retreat, but nay, he intensifies and accelerates his efforts. So Nabi alayhi salam says, every child is vulnerable to the influence of the devil at birth, with the exception of Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam. So this is the pride and this is the honor that Allah Ta'ala favored, and this is what Allah Ta'ala told Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Maryam, that I'm going to bless you with such a female and such honor you will get through this girl that no male can bring that honor to you. And indeed today, the get together today is a manifestation on a small scale of that particular ayah which the Quran speaks about. You know, I read these few couplets among the Arabs. There was this person, he got married and Allah blessed him with a lot of female offspring. And this again, in the hadith, it comes under the commentary of this ayat in Ma'riful Quran, it is written, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ أَوْ يُزَوِّدُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. That Nabi alayhi salam says, fortunate is that woman whose first child is a female. Nabi alayhi salam says, fortunate is that woman, fortunate is that couple to whom the first child born is a female. And subtle implications and indications are found in this verse. When Allah speaks about His might and His authority in deciding the gender, then Allah says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Allah first speaks about females. Thereafter Allah speaks about males. Then Allah says, some I bless with both male and female, وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. And some I do not favor with children, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. My knowledge is complete and my power is complete. And accordingly I make decisions. While I'm speaking about this here, one hadith of Qudsi comes to mind, and let me just share it with you, and I come back to the couplets of that Arab. That in one hadith it comes of Tibrani on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, he narrates it from Nabi alayhi salam, and Nabi alayhi salam narrates it from Allah. Allah says, Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa al-faqr, walau aghnaytuhu la afsadahu dhalik. There are some servants of mine, only perpetual poverty will keep them obligated to me. If I have to give them wealth as they beg me, they will rebel against me. إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرِ. On the contrary, there are some servants of mine, only wealth will keep them obligated to me. If I make them taste the difficulty of poverty, they will abandon me. إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الصِّحَّةِ وَلَوْ أَسْقَمْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. There are some servants of mine, only good health will keep them obligated to me. If I have to make them taste the difficulty of sickness, they will abandon me. And there are some servants of mine, only perpetual sickness will keep them obligated to me. If I have to cure them as they implore me, they will abandon me. Inni udabbiru amra ibadi bi'ilmi bima fi qulubihim inni alimun khabir. With my knowledge, my might and my authority, I regulate the matters in my creation. My knowledge is complete, my power is complete. So Allah blessed this person with only female offspring. He decided to take a second woman in his nikah. with the hope that perhaps Allah will favor him with some male offspring. He gets married to another woman and Allah blesses him with a son. And he names the son Hamza. Now you study about the fasahat of the Arab woman, what Allah had favored them with. Allahu Akbar. So the new marriage of his, the new house that he was staying was adjacent to his first wife's house. And since he got a son from the first wife, somehow his inclinations went stronger to the first wife. And he failed to maintain equity and justice amongst them. So one day as he was walking outside his house, his first wife looked at him and she said, مَا لِأَبِي حَمْزَةَ لَا يَأْتِينَا وَلَا يَلْقَى بِالْبَيْتِ الَّذِي يَلِينَا أَغَزْبَانَ أَلَّا نَلِدَ الْبَنِينَ هَذَا لَيْسَ بِعَيْبٍ فِينَا نَحْنُ كَالْأَرْضِ لِزَرَاعِينَا نُنْبِتُ مَا قَدْ يُوذَعُ فِينَا. I wish you could comprehend this in Arabic, and I know the sisters that will appreciate it in Arabic can understand what has been said. مَا لِأَبِي حَمْزَةَ لَا يَأْتِينَا. What is the matter with Abu Hamza? She addresses her husband since he has a male son. La ya'tina, he no longer visits us. Wala yalqa bil bayti alladhi yalina, he forgot his first house. Aghazbana alla nalida al banina, is he angry that we cannot give birth to male offspring? Hadha laysa bi'aybin fina, this is not a defect in us. This is not a shortfall in us. Nahnu kal ardi li zara'ina, we are like the land for the farmer. The land would germinate what you plant in it. نُنْبِتُ مَا قَدْ يُوذَعُ فِينَا. We are like the land. Whatever the tiller and the farmer would place, that is what we would give birth to. But the honor that Allah has favored. Look at the life of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. This comment was made. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. One kafir came and said, Muhammad is abtar wal iyadu billah. Abtar refers to that animal, the tail of which is severed. So he said that, well, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have any male offspring. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two sons, Qasim and Abdullah, and Ibrahim from Maria Qibtiya radiallahu anha, all passed away in the infancy. And it was only his daughters that remained. So this kafir made a nasty comment and he said, well, Muhammad no longer has male offspring. His lineage will not prosper. His lineage will not go forward. He is Abtar. Allah revealed the verse. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwal abtar. No, Muhammad's name will remain. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum walakin rasulallahi wa khataman nabiyyin. His name will remain, and this kafir who has made these nasty comments, his name will not remain on this earth. Nabi alayhi salam's lineage was preserved through his daughters. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had daughters. His eldest daughter Ruqayya, Zainab radiyallahu anha. His second daughter Ruqayya radiyallahu anha. His third daughter Umme Kulthum, and his beloved final daughter, the coolness of his eyes, Fatima radiyallahu anha. Under the commentary of this ayat, Al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayati dunya wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaba. Where Allah speaks about that wealth and sons is the glory of this world, but the everlasting good is pious deeds. Going to the tafasir, scholars have written great things. It refers to la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It refers to subhanallah walhamdulillah. In tafsir al-Qurtubi, on the authority of Ubayd ibn Umar, there is one narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she says, baqiyatu salihat refers to pious daughters. What is the greatest asset for a man? The greatest asset for a man is baqiyatu salihat. What does Ubayd ibn Umar say? On the authority of Aisha, it refers to pious daughters. And then he makes mention of a hadith there, that on the day of Qiyamah, one person will present before Allah. And Allah will decide that this man will go to Jahannam. And as he will be dragged towards Jahannam, his daughters will run out. And his daughters will intervene and intercede. And his daughters will come and plead before Allah. This comes in the riwayat of Ubayd ibn Umar. Oh Allah, whatever has happened, our father has favored us greatly. And he has instilled good values and morals in us. Allah, we're not going to allow our father to be taken to Jahannam. Nabi alayhi salam says these daughters will insist and persist until finally Allah will accept the intercession of these daughters. There will be those people who will be forgiven on the intercession of prophets. There will be others who will be forgiven on the intercessions of martyrs. How fortunate are those couples, those parents, who will be forgiven on the intercession of their own daughters. What did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in the hadith that I quoted? Man kana lahu bintun. That person whom Allah favors with a daughter. فَأَدَّبَهَا فَأَحْسَنَ أَدَبَهَا. He gives a good morals, he gives a good nurturing, he gives a good upbringing. وَعَلَّمَهَا فَأَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمَهَا. And he teaches her and he gives her the best of knowledge. وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْهَا مِن نِعَمِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَسْبَغَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And he does not withhold any bounty and any favor that Allah has given him. He spends it freely on his daughter. Oh my daughter, this is the wealth Allah gave me. This is the money Allah gave me. This is the intellect. He gives his daughter time. Look at the interaction of Nabi alayhi salam with his daughters. And perhaps it's time at the jalsa of this nature that we reflect on the life of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. We reflect on the life of Fatima radiallahu anha. Let me tell you who was Aisha radiallahu anha. One of the greatest tragedies of our times is that unfortunately today our young girls have not made the wives of Nabi alayhi salam a point of reference in their life. They are not referring to the spouses of Nabi alayhi salam nor to the daughters. Every person wishes to honor, revere and seek for guidance and so to say idolize some individual. When we look into the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, a young girl of tender age, but what integrity Allah had favored her with. What foresight, what wisdom, and what love she had secured in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She comes into the nikah of Nabi alayhi salam at the tender age of 6. She comes into the care of Nabi alayhi salam at the tender age of 9. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, I have 9 virtues and privileges which no other wife has. وَلَقَدْ تَزَوَّجَنِي بِكْرًا وَمَا تَزَوَّجَ بِكْرًا غَيْرِي. I was the only unmarried wife of Nabi alayhi salam. Other than that, all his other wives were widows. Number 2, وَلَقَدْ نَزَلَ جِبْرِيلُ بِسُورَتِي. Jibreel descended with my appearance and told Nabi alayhi salam, Allah has decided Aisha will be your wife. Aisha will be your wife. وَإِنِّي إِبْنَةُ خَلِيفَتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. I am the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's closest friend Abu Bakr and I am the daughter of the successor of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. May Allah shower his choices, blessings on Abu Bakr. زوجني ابنته. He got me married to his daughter Aisha. حملني إلى دار الهجرة. He arranged for my conveyance to Medina. صحبني في الغار. He was my companion in the cave. أعتق بلالا من ماله. And he set Bilal free with his own money. وإن ابنت. I am the daughter of the closest friend of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولقد نزل عذري من السماء. And when I was accused with zina, Allah revealed my innocence in the form of Quran. And here's something I wish to bring to my sisters here. Allah praises the woman at this juncture. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who accuse chaste women, muhsanat. But then Allah speaks about غافلات. Such chaste women who are oblivious about the cosmetic world, but deliberately oblivious. They are ignorant about what is happening as far as beauty is concerned, as far as prosperity, material prosperity is concerned. Ghafilat, but in the context of praising this woman. Otherwise, ghafla, negligence, being oblivious is something that is a defect. Ya Allah praises the woman with this quality. Al-ghafilat, they do not know what is happening in outside. And hence, when they will be negligent about that, they will be alimat about their own homes. On the contrary, today a woman knows what is happening everywhere else, but she doesn't know what is happening in her own home. Aisha radiallahu anha says, and this should be the ideal for a Muslim girl growing up. What does she say? Imam Qurtubi explains it so beautifully. Inna Yusuf lamma rumiya bil fahisha barra'ahu Allahu ala lisani sabiyyin fil mahdi. When Sayyidina Yusuf was accused with zina, Allah proved his innocence on the tongue of a child that was sleeping in the cradle. Wa inna Maryama lamma rumiyat bil fahisha barra'aha Allahu ala lisani ibniha. And when Maryam alayha salam was accused with zina, Allah made Isa alayhi salam speak in his infancy. Aisha radiallahu anha says, but when I was accused with zina, فَمَا رَضِيَ بِبَرَاءَةِ السَّبِيِّينَ وَلَا نَبِيِّينَ. Allah was not happy to prove my innocence on the tongue of a child nor on a prophet. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, when she came home and she sat down and the slander against her that she had committed zina وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this was the first time after 1 month that the Nabi of Allah openly addressed the matter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aisha, this is the slander against you. إِن كُنْتِ بَرِيئَةٍ فَسَيُبَرِّئِكِ اللَّهِ. If you're innocent, Allah will prove your innocence. And if you have intended a sin, then repent and Allah will forgive. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I cried so much, my parents thought I'm going to die out of crying. I looked at my mother and I said, my mother, speak for me. My mother cried and he said, oh my daughter, when your husband is the Nabi of Allah, how can I speak? I looked at my father, I said, oh my father, you say a few words. My father excused himself, he says he cannot say anything. Aisha radiallahu anha said, at that time I lost my senses, I tried to gain my composure and I said, La ajidu li walakum mathala illa kama qala Abu Yusuf. The only example I can find for myself, she says, I forgot the name of Yaqub alayhi salam. What the father of Yusuf told to the sons of the brothers of Yusuf. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. I leave my matter to Allah, Allah will decide it. She says, I daily said this, there was silence, and we seen symptoms of revelation. We seen symptoms of revelation. And then Allah revealed the verses. Allah revealed the verses. Aisha radiallahu anha says, now listen to this. I never considered myself so close to Allah that Allah will reveal verses regarding me. I thought the maximum, I knew Allah will reveal my innocence because I was innocent. I thought one day the Nabi of Allah will get up and say, Aisha, glad tidings, I had a vision last night. I never knew I enjoyed such closeness to my Allah that He gave it place in the Quran. It was only after the revelation of these verses. And how did Allah reveal? إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. When you circulated the slander against Aisha, and you were blurting things regarding which you knew nothing, and you considered it to be trivial, whereas in the eyes of Allah, there couldn't be a more severe crime. So this was the honor that Allah gave to Aisha radiallahu anha, and that is she said, وَلَقَدْ نَزَلَ عُذْرِي مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Allah revealed my innocence from the skies. And I'm the only wife of Nabi alayhi salam who enjoyed being in seclusion with him, and Jibreel used to come with revelation. More than often Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Ya Aish, Hada Jibreel, Yaqra'u alayki salam. Aisha, look, this is Jibreel, he's greeting you. And this is the honor of a Muslim woman. And these are the women to whom we should relate. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salam, Man ahabbu nasi ilayka ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, who is most beloved to you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha. That sahabi said, Min al-rijal. I'm speaking about the men. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abuha, the father of Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha says, one day I was sitting outside, it was a bright moonlit night. My head was in the lap of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. I glanced to the skies. I said, O Nabi of Allah, so many stars in the skies. It comes in Mishkat Sharif, second volume under the Manaqib of Abu Bakr. O Nabi of Allah, so many stars in the skies. Any of your sahabi has so many good deeds? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course Umar has it. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, and my father Abu Bakr? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama jami'u hasanati Umar ka hasanatin wahidatin min hasanati Abi Bakr. Aisha, all the good of Umar is like one good deed of Abu Bakr. What was the nurturing that the parents, that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr and his wife gave to Aisha radiallahu anha? She secured such love, such closeness in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the tender age of 18, she was widowed. At that time, our girls are still coming to responsibility, coming to grips with the faraiz. At the age of 18, she is widowed, bearing in mind the injunction of the Quran is, وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِن بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. That the widows of Nabi alayhi salam cannot remarry. She then lived on for 50 years, close to half a century. But you study the commitment and the contribution. At the age of 18, she contributes 2,210 ahadith to this ummah. At the age of 18, how many ahadith she imbibes and commits to memory and conveys to the ummah? And she took an active part in everything. She had an active part when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated. Amongst the sahaba that were most vocal that justice be meted out against the rebels who assassinated Uthman was Aisha radiallahu anha. She was such a woman. Umar radiallahu anhu gave her great record, gave a great merit in relation to the honor that Nabi alayhi salam had afforded her. Whenever the spoils of the war used to come, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to give preference to Aisha radiallahu anhu, not even to his own daughter who was the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Qazi Abu Yusuf has made mention in his Kitab al-Kharaj that the annual allowance that used to be given to the woman was 10,000 dirhams by Umar radiallahu anhu. But he used to give Aisha 12,000 dirhams. And he said because she was very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the beauty of Sahaba, that they gave more cognizance and recognition to the sentiments of Nabi alayhi wa sallam than to themselves. Umar radiallahu anhu one day came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I know you want your uncle Abbas to accept Islam. And I want my father Khattab to accept Islam. But if your father Abbas accepts Islam, it will bring more joy to me because I know that will bring greater joy to you. As much as I am passionate about my father, but I know the greater joy will be for you." Allahu Akbar. When Zainab radiallahu anha, let me tell you, the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam, speak about the woman of Islam. What a rich contribution they made. Zainab radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu's eldest daughter, was married to a person called Abul As ibn Rabi'. He was actually the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha, Khadija radiallahu anha's sister's son. Abul As ibn Rabi' was a very noble son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu's, his eldest son-in-law. In the first battle that was fought in Uhud, when he came to fight, because he had not yet accepted Islam, he fought on the sides of the non-Muslims, but he did not take a very active part against the Muslims. But because he had not accepted Islam, Nabi sallallahu's daughter Zainab radiallahu anha was in Makkah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were in Medina. After the battle was over and the prisoners were captured, among those that were captured, one was Abul As ibn Rabi, the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then it was decided that whoever wants to purchase the freedom of their prisoners, they must send some ransom. Nabi sallallahu's daughter Zainab in Makkah, she heard that my husband has been captured by the Muslims, that is my father and the other Muslims. So she decided to send some ransom. She sent one valuable necklace. And this necklace was given to her by her late mother Khadija radiallahu anha. She sent this necklace with someone and she says, "Go and give this to my father. And this is a ransom on behalf of my husband Abul As." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his sahaba. When that necklace was presented before him, raqqalaha riqqatan shadeeda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at this necklace and he went down memory lane and he started thinking of the good old days of Khadija. And he recalled that this was a valuable necklace that Khadija gave to his daughter when she got married. Nabi alayhi sallam started crying profusely. And sahaba became very emotional at this sight. That one side, the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is captured. On the other hand, his wife is late. His daughter sits isolated alone in Makkah. Nabi alayhi salam asked the sahaba, "If you permit me, I would like to release my daughter-in-law without taking any ransom. Release my son-in-law without taking any ransom." Sahaba said, "O Nabi of Allah, most willingly we agree. Most happily we agree." Nabi alayhi salam returned that necklace to Abul As and said, "Now that you go back, only one thing I am asking, send my daughter Zainab back. Send my daughter Zainab. Makkah is now not conducive for the Muslims. And now that Hijrat has taken place, tell her to come over here." When Zainab radiallahu anha leaves for Hijrat, look at how, what test came upon the woman of Islam. It comes in the riwayat, she was expecting at that time. She was carrying the grandchild in her womb. And as she leaves from Makkah, Abul As ibn Rabi came out and he told his brother Kinana that you escort my wife little. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent two sahaba, Zaid ibn Haritha and Abu Rafi, that you bring my daughter and come. As she exits from Makkah, the kuffar could not see this. They said, "There's the daughter of Muhammad going, let us strike her." The enemies advanced towards this innocent daughter Zainab radiallahu anha. My mothers, you will know better. My sisters, you will know better. What compassion Allah puts in the heart of a mother for the child she is carrying. La yanamani hatta tanam, wa la yashba'ani hatta tashba. Before the child is born, there's love in the heart of the parents. A unique muhabbat Allah puts. As she is riding on her camel, one kafir by the name of Habbar ibn Aswad advances with his spear and he strikes Zainab radiallahu anha. فَوَقَعَتْ عَلَىٰ صَخْرَةٍ. She falls onto a slightly raised platform and immediately as a result of that spear hitting her, she sustains such an injury that she aborts her child immediately. This is the grandchild of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their daughters were put onto sacrifice and the vision of akhirat was introduced to them at the very initial stages. It's high time, oh my sister, you take this platform to introduce your daughters to the correct compass. Has not my Nabi said in the riwayat of Bukhari that mother was suckling her child مَرَّ رَجُلٌ A man passes by, mounts onto his horse, حَسَنُ الْهَيْئَ Striking in his appearance, swift in his pace, impressing in his appearance. The mother is suckling her child, and she says, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْ إِبْنِي مِثْلَهُ Allah, I'm suckling this child today. He is helpless, he is feeble. But bring that day when I can see this very infant that I'm suckling, mounted onto a horse and riding like this, O Allah. My Nabi says, فَتَرَكَ الثَّدْيَ The child leaves the chest of his mother, and then he makes dua, اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلْنِي مِثْلَهُ Allah, my mother doesn't know what she's talking, don't ever make me like this man. What compass have we put before our children? What are the ideas that our children are growing up with? What is the vision? What is the aspirations? What is the ambition? One girl told me she's pursuing a degree. I asked why. She says, no, in case my husband cannot support me. My advice is, if you take up any degree within the confines of Islam, by all means, but let that never be the reason of pursuing that degree. When that is the reason, then Allah will accordingly deal with you. Allah will bring those situations upon you. Whatever degree you take up within the confines of Islam, by all means, but that should not be the motivating factor. Anyway, she continues suckling the child, and then passes another woman. People are accusing her, people are condemning her. Zanaiti sarakti, zanaiti sarakti. You're an adulteress. You are guilty of theft. You're an adulteress. You are guilty of theft. Such humiliation on that girl. Again, the mother looks at this apparent form of humiliation and disgrace. Allahumma la taj'al ibni mithlahu. Allah, don't ever make my son like this woman. Again, the Nabi of Allah says, the child leaves the chest of his mother, and he says, Allahumma ja'alni mithlaha. Allah, don't accept the dua of my mother. Please make me like this woman. Nabi alayhi salam says, fataraja'a al-kalam. Then the mother looked at the child and she says, my baby, I love you, I'm suckling you, I'm nursing you. That man passed by, what an impressive attitude he had, what a beautiful conveyance he was riding. I, in my old desire and aspiration for a bright future, I make dua, Allah make you like this. A woman passed by, people are condemning her, people are criticizing her. I looked at her condition, I did not condemn her, I said, Allah, don't make my son like this here. And at both times you opposed my dua. What did he say? Oh, my mother, that first person who impressed you, who was striking to the eye, appealing to the heart, let me tell you, he is Jabbar, he is a tyrant man. He is a tyrant man. And Allah doesn't like people that are proud and arrogant. In the riwayat of Bukhari, Nabi alayhi salam says, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي One person was walking. تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُهُ He was impressed with himself. He had an attitude about himself. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, One day Aisha radiallahu anha put on a very beautiful garment. And as is the nature of woman, she admired herself. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked her, مَا تَنْظُرِينَ يَا عَيْشَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِنَاظِرٍ إِلَيْكَ Aisha, what are you admiring about yourself? Because Allah is not admiring you. Why, O my father? Why isn't Allah admiring me? Don't you know when a woman adorns herself, and then pride enters into her, that she waits for other women to comment, to praise her. She's so nasty, she couldn't even say, I look nice. مَقَتَهُ رَبُّهُ حَتَّى يُفَارِقَ تِلْكَ الزِّينَ Allah abandons that woman until she abandons that attitude. Allah abandons that woman until she abandons that attitude. And the Nabi of Allah told Aisha, إِنْ أَرَدْتِ اللُّحُوكُ بِي فَلْيَكْفِيكِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا كَزَادِ الرَّاكِبِ How did he tell his wives? When he was leaving, the last advice he said, أَسْرَعُكُنَّ لُحُوقًا بِي أَتْوَلُكُنَّ يَدًا Oh my wives, I'm on my way out. The wife that wishes to die quickly and join me first is the one that's most generous. That's my advice to my wives. And Aisha, if you wish to join me, live like a traveler and don't consider an outfit old until you don't pack it few times. Then you will join me in Jannah. Aisha radiallahu anha gave everything. Muhammad ibn Munkadir rahmatullah alayhi, a great tabi'i, one day came to Aisha radiallahu anha and he asked her that, Oh Aisha, oh my mother Aisha, I need some money. I came to ask you if you have, can you kindly give me? Aisha radiallahu anha says, at the moment I don't have, but you're such a man, believe me, if I had 10,000 dirhams, I would have given it to you. I read this riwayat myself. If I had 10,000 dirhams, I would have given it to you. Anyway, he said this and he went away, and immediately, 5 minutes later, one sahabi came and gave Aisha radiallahu anha a hadiah of 10,000 dirhams. Aisha radiallahu anha says, it seems as if Allah has put my words to test. It seems as if Allah has put my words to test. إِذَا أَنفَقَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ مِن مَالِ زَوْجِهَا. Look at the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam. When a woman will spend from the wealth of her husband in the path of Allah, she will gain the same reward like her husband. The husband earns, the wife only encourages that this is where you should invest your wealth. Nabi alayhi salam says she gets the same reward. Immediately she says, go and call Muhammad ibn Munkadir, and she takes the entire 10,000 dirhams and she gives it to Aisha, she gives it to Muhammad ibn Munkadir rahmatullahi alayh. That was the sense of generosity. In the Hasha of Jalalain it is written, every Sahabi, after Nabi alayhi salam, took it their pride to make adequate financial arrangements for all the spouses of Nabi alayhi salam. Priority used to be given to the welfare of the spouses of Nabi alayhi salam. They are the mothers of the ummah. So whoever assumed the position of khilafat used to see to the well-being of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in his khilafat one day sent 100,000 dirhams to Aisha radiallahu anha. And this was routine to all the wives. This was routine that after all these are the mothers of the ummah. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا وَاذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah tells the wives of Nabi alayhi salam, understand the fortune Allah has given you. You reside in those homes where Quran is revealed. So he sends 100,000 dirhams to Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha tells the slave girl, start distributing. Start distributing. At the time of iftar, Aisha radiallahu anha tells the slave, they bring some dates, let us break fast. She says that, oh Aisha, I have distributed everything, there isn't one date to make iftar with also. Now again, we should also encourage, today unfortunately, how much extravagance is taking place in our weddings. And this is again a platform for our sisters. We call upon the young girls in this gathering to be the first to initiate this year. Then let them be the ones to say, remember, if you disobey Allah in salah, there is another opportunity of obeying Allah. You did not fast one Ramadan properly, you can fast again. But the occasion of marriage, either you make it or break it. You don't know if this opportunity will come again. Either you bring simplicity in that nikah and take the du'as of Nabi alayhi salam and let your nikah be performed by like the men of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Fatima radiallahu anha was born to Nabi alayhi salam when he was 35 years of age when the Quraysh were constructing the Kaaba. Let me come back to that incident of Zainab radiallahu anha. Zainab radiallahu anha then comes to Medina. She's taken back to Makkah after she sustains that injury. Her child passes away, the grandchild of Nabi alayhi salam. Her condition is stabilized in Makkah, and when she is in a position to travel, she comes to Medina. She comes to Medina. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees to her. Nabi alayhi salam was very fond of Zainab, the eldest daughter. Each man has a sense of passion to his eldest daughter. And Nabi alayhi salam also said, خَيْرُ بَنَاتِ أُصِيبَتْ فِيَّ. The noblest of my daughters, she suffered greatly for my cause. She suffered greatly for my cause. When she came to Medina, and then in due time, Abu al-As ibn Rabi came and the nikah was performed again and he had accepted Islam. It wasn't long out of the very injury that she sustained in the journey of Hijrat that she passed away. Nabi alayhi salam himself was present at the ghusl and the kafan of Zainab radiallahu anha, and he himself lowered her into the grave. It comes in the riwayat, when he lowered his daughter Zainab, he was very sad. He was extremely sad and he was crying. When he went down, and that should be the concern of every father, when he went down and he buried his daughter, Allahu Akbar, and then as he came out, Suriya min wajhihi, there was a sense of brightness and glow on his face. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, you entered, you were very sad, but when you came out, there was a sense of glow on your face. What is the matter? Nabi alayhi salam says, Kuntu azkur dha'fa Zainab wa dhiqa al-qabr. I was thinking about the feebleness of my Zainab and the loneliness of the grave. And I said, Ya Allah, what will happen to my Zainab in this grave? And while lowering my daughter, I cried to Allah, and Allah has confirmed to me that my Zainab will be exempted from the punishment and the hisab of the grave. So this should be the vision, and this is that opportunity that Allah gives us, that through these daughters, as I mentioned in the beginning, that those daughters will come and intercede before Allah, and they will insist that Allah, our Father, will not go to Jahannam. Let it not be that Allah Ta'ala says that the daughters must go to Jahannam, and these daughters come and say, oh Allah, if we are going to go first, our father goes because he had not given us deen. The vision should be that of... So Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam arranges for her ghusl by himself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's daughters, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Ruqayya radiallahu anha passes away when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was out in Badr. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu arranges for the ghusl. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returns, they were about to lower her into the grave, and a horseman comes and he says, glad tidings, the Muslims have been victorious at Badr. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returns, he holds the hand of his daughter Fatima, and then he comes and he stands at the grave of Ruqayya. وَهِيَ تَبْكِي عَلَى شَفِيرِ قَبْرِ رُقَيَّةِ. She stands on the side of the grave of her sister, and Nabi alayhi salam stands on the side of his daughter, and he cries. And he cries profusely that my daughter passes away in a condition that I was not even present, and she leaves behind a young son at the age of 5, the name Abdullah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looked at her, and he made one statement, and he said, إِلْحَقِي بِسَلَفِنَا عُثْمَانَ ابْنَ مَذْعُونَ. Go, O my daughter, and may Allah unite you with Uthman ibn Maz'un. Uthman ibn Maz'un was the 13th person to accept Islam. Also among the first that made hijrah to Medina, came to Medina and passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh my daughter, go and join the ranks of Uthman ibn Maz'un in Jannah. So this was the condition of the own daughter. We were speaking of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Nabi alayhi salam, when Fatima radiallahu anha was at the tender age of 15, and the issue of nikah came about, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu came to propose, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, what do you have? He said, Rahilati wa dir'i. O Nabi of Allah, I have my horse, I have my armor. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, horse you will use for jihad. The armor you can sell and give that in dowry to Fatima. And buy some spray, some deodorants. Akthiru min at-tib fa innaha imra'atun min an-nisa. That Fatima is also a woman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then performed the nikah in the presence of eminent sahaba. And when it was time to go home, it was no bride coming, no groom coming to receive. There was no parcels being exchanged. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Umm Ayman radiallahu anha, it was the time of Isha, that I'm going for Isha, you take Fatima to the house of Ali. Who was Umm Ayman? She was the slave girl of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's father. When Nabi salatu wasalam's father passed away, she came in the care of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam's mother. And thereafter, she took care of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Her name was, she seemed to Nabi alayhi salam, and hence the Nabi of Allah used to refer to her by saying, Ummi, Ummi, my mother. In fact, when her husband passed away, Nabi alayhi salam said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَتَزَوَّجَ إِمْرَأَةً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ أُمَّ أَيْمَنْ. Whoever wants to get married to a woman of Jannah should get married to her. This is how close she was. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Umm Ayman that you take Fatima home. Look at the manner in which the queen of the woman of Jannah goes. Fatima radiallahu anha comes. Umm Ayman radiallahu anha takes her. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Fatima, oh Fatima, don't speak to Ali until I come. Fatima radiallahu anha is taken to the house of Ali radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam performs Isha and then he returns. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gets there, he asks for some water and he recites some dua and he sprinkles it on the face of Ali radiallahu anhu and on the face of Fatima radiallahu anha. And then he makes dua for her and he makes dua for prosperity in this marriage. And then he tells Fatima, oh Fatima, my desire is that if Allah makes it possible, I want to bring you close to the Masjid al-Nabawi so that you can stay close to me and I can have more time with you, oh Fatima. This is how close the Nabi of Allah was to Fatima. So Fatima radiallahu anha said, oh Nabi of Allah, your sahabi Harith bin Nu'man has many homes close to Masjid al-Nabawi. Why don't you ask him? Nabi alayhi salam said, no, oh my daughter, ask Allah. Ask Allah, I will not ask. On the other hand, Harith ibn Nu'man heard that the queen of the woman of Jannah, Nabi alayhi salam intends to relocate her. He came running to Nabi alayhi salam and said, oh Nabi of Allah, I believe you want to bring your daughter. I swear by Allah, it will be the greatest pride if you accept the house from me. Nabi alayhi salam was very happy, praised him, and then his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha was relocated. And she comes close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah gave a very short lifespan, but she was the precise emulation of the life of Nabi alayhi salam. فَأَقْبَلَتْ تَمْشِي مَا تُخْطِئُ مِشْيَتَهَا مِن مِشْيَةِ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. When she walked, her walk was precisely the walk of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever she would come home, Nabi alayhi salam would stand up, kiss her blessed hands, and then he would make Fatima radiallahu anha sit in her place. He had so much time for her, but the greatest thing that he gave his Fatima was deen. One day Ali radiallahu anhu comes home. When Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a son, the first son that was born, Ali radiallahu anhu gave his name Harb. Ali radiallahu anhu was special. Harb means war, fight, something strong and strength. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, what name you gave? So Ali said, Harb. Nabi salatu wasalam said, no, his name is Hassan. 1 year later, Allah gave them another son. Nabi salatu wasalam said, what name? He said, Harb. Nabi salatu wasalam said, no, his name is Hussein. Again, Nabi Allah Ta'ala blessed them with a third son, Muhsin. This child passed away in his infancy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what name? He said, Harb. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will not win with me. His name is Muhsin. Nabi alayhi salam one day said, oh people, do you know who is the most fortunate children? Then he pointed to Hassan and Hussein. He said, Hassan and Hussein, they are the most fortunate. Abahuma, their father is Ali. Their mother is Fatima. Jaddahuma, the grandfather is Muhammad. The grandmother is Khadija. Then Nabi saw some pointed and he says, just as you see him, he's sitting next to him, on the same way we will stand up on the day of Qiyamah. In the same way we will stand up on the day of Qiyamah. This was the closeness he had with Fatima radiallahu anha. But I often this mention this here. And let me leave you with these thoughts. That it is time we give deen, and this is what a great opportunity for us to take on. That while generally women today and young girls have become the victims of the curse of so many parents, earning the wrath of Allah. Yeah, young girls that will be moving around with the dua of Nabi alayhi salam. Daha, and she conveys it. فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ, and conveys it to someone else. Wherever this girl will move with her is the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this very Fatima radiallahu anha, she passed away at the age of 28. At a very tender age. And mention is made in the riwayat that one day Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and sat down, and then she whispered, we know the hadith is very famous, she whispered, Nabi alayhi salam whispered something to Fatima radiallahu anha, she cried, Nabi alayhi salam then whispered, then she smiled. Aisha radiallahu anha asked her, what was the dialogue between you? She said, it is a secret, I cannot divulge it. After the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Aisha radiallahu anha asked her, and then she spoke about it. Only 6 months after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's death, Fatima radiallahu anha passes away. In that 6 months, riwayat suggests not once she smiled. The only one time she spoke, she came to Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, and she said, Asma, you know, I've been observing certain funerals, the woman's body is not concealed adequately. And I can see my time is coming close. So Asma radiallahu anha said, wait. She was the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the previous wife of Jafar radiallahu anhu. She broke some branches from a tree and she made a little cot. And she says, I observed this practice in Abyssinia. And this is how they bury the woman in Abyssinia. And with great, commitment and with great proficiency, they beautify and they cover and conceal the woman. When she seen this, it comes in the riwayat, she smiles. And this was the first time she smiled. And she said, Asma, you bring joy to me, I entrust you. After my janazah, I want you that you make adequate arrangements that my body is concealed totally. This was the only time. In fact, one riwayat comes, she was such a modest woman that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, when my Fatima will stand up as the queen of the women and she will advance, one announcer will announce, oh, the people of Hashar, lower your gaze, Fatima bint Muhammad wants to cross. Entire Hashar will drop their gaze. They will drop their gaze and then Fatima bint Muhammad. This indeed is the honor of a woman. How can one do justice to the description of the Quran? فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. How can you do justice? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu commentating on the modesty of the daughter of Shu'ayb says, قَائِلَةً بِثَوْبِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهَا لَيْسَتْ بِسَلَفَعٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ دَلَاجَةً وَلَاجَةً خَرَاجَةً. Modest, humble, dropped her tone, passive in her walk, not like the outgoing woman who do not mind. When Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu was salam seen the appearance of a strange man who was an angel for a split second, what was the reaction of a woman who has preserved her nature? Inni a'udhu bir-Rahmani minka in kunta taqiyya. For Allah's sake, move from here. I'm not comfortable with strange men. I cannot handle myself in this condition. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very fond of Fatima radiallahu anha, yet he told her in the riwayat of Bukhari, Ya Fatima, salini ma shi'ti min mali la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. Oh my Fatima, I love you. And whatever little money I have, ask me. But don't remain in this deception because you are my daughter. There will be no hisab for you. Fatima, your account will be separate. Mine will be separate. So it's time we, on this occasion, conscientize ourselves and ask ourselves. Maulana Aslam Shaykh Puri has made mention in that kitab, Nidai Mimbar e Mihrab, on the manaqib of Fatima radiallahu anha, that when her janazah was brought and she was being lowered into the grave, she asked Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Atabat nafsukum an tahtu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-turab. Anas, tell me, how did you pluck up courage to put soil on my father's body? How did you people take the courage? And from that time onwards, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, we barely dusted our hands and we found the atmosphere changing. Like someone said, رُبَّ يَوْمٍ بَكَيْتُ مِنْهُ فَلَمَّا سِرْتُ فِي غَيْرِهِ بَكَيْتُ عَلَيْهِ. There were many times in my life, I said, we're living in so evil times. But as time went on, I started cherishing the very moments we used to regret upon. And that is what has happened. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu used to say, مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانِنَا مُنْكَرُ زَمَانٍ قَدْ مَضَى وَمُنْكَرُهُ مَعْرُوفُ زَمَانٍ لَمْ يَأْتِ. What we consider as noble today was considered as a sin in the previous times. And what we consider as a sin today will be considered as piety in the generations to come. This is the manner in which we are going. يَقُولُونَ الزَّمَانُ بِهِ فَسَادُ وَهُمْ فَسَدُوا وَمَا فَسَدَ الزَّمَانُ. People are saying the times are evil. In essence, it's not the times, it's the people that have changed. So Sayyidina Anas said, told the grave, O grave, do you know who will be lowered into the, to you today? هذه فاطمة. This comes in that kitab. بنت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم زوجة علي أم الحسن والحسين. This is the wife of Ali radiallahu anhu. This is the mother of Hassan and Hussein. This is the beloved daughter of Nabi alayhi salam. So there was a voice heard that came out, the grave spoke and said, مَا أَنَا مَوْضِعُ حَسَبٍ وَلَا نَسَبٍ بَلْ أَنَا مَوْضِعُ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ. O Anas, I do not see who comes, I see what they come. O Anas, I do not see who comes, I see what they come. So my respected mothers and sisters, let us make the correct, let us make the lives of Nabi alayhi salam a point of reference, the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. And the daughters of Nabi alayhi salam, look at their lives. Nabi alayhi salam said, ما تزوجت شيئا من نسائي ولا زوجت شيئا من بناتي إلا بوحي جاءني به جبريل. My every spouse and my every son-in-law was the divine choice of Allah. I did not get my daughters married on my own accord. When Zainab, when Umm Kulthum passed away and Ruqayya passed away radiyallahu anhuma. After Zainab, Ruqayya radiyallahu anha passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Uthman and one day said, Uthman, you're looking very sad. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I had your daughter in my nikah. I had the privilege of being your son-in-law. Now I have lost your daughter, your daughter, O Nabi of Allah. Of course it will bring sadness to me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looked at him, paused, and then he said, Jibreel has come down and informed me I must give my other daughter to you in nikah also. And after she passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لو كنا عشرًا لزوجتهن عثمان. Uthman, if I had 10 other daughters, I had such trust in you, I would have given every one of them to you. So what I'm saying is, that this is an opportunity that we look at the lives of the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the life of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. The simplicity, Fatima radiallahu anha said, Ali radiallahu anhu said, تَزَوَّجْتُ بِنْتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا لَنَا فِرَاشٌ إِلَّا جِلْدَةَ شَاتٍ نَنَامُ عَلَيْهِ. I got married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter. We had nothing to sleep on but one sheep's skin. We used to sleep on that, and in the morning we used to give the camels fodder on the very same thing. This was the condition. One day Fatima radiallahu anha comes home. The riwayat comes in Hayatul Sahaba also. And asabat Ali khasasa, severe hunger. There's absolutely nothing at home. Ali radiallahu anhu tells Fatima radiallahu anha, the children are hungry. Perhaps you go and ask the Nabi of Allah for something, if he can give us something. Fatima radiallahu anha decides, now let us ask ourselves, Allah forbid, Allah don't bring this at home. But if our daughter comes home with some problems in her marriage life, some financial problems, how do we react to the situation? Yet the Nabi of Allah gets his daughter married to Ali radiallahu anhu, and Fatima radiallahu anha comes home, there's such hunger that even the grandchildren of Nabi alayhi salam don't have anything. A person can perhaps excuse his sentiments in relation to his daughter, but his grandchildren, that's a soft spot of any grandfather. There is nothing at home. Fatima radiallahu anha comes, she knocks on the door. Nabi alayhi salam said, Inna hadha ladakku Fatima. This is my Fatima knocking at the door. وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْنَا فِي سَاعَةٍ مَا عَوَّدَتْنَا أَن تَأْتِينَا فِي مِثْلِهِ. And my Fatima has come today on a strange time. Generally, my Fatima doesn't visit me on this time. Umm Ayman radiallahu anha was seated there. She used to come and sit in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. And Nabi alayhi salam had great regard for Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. She comes in, she sends durood and salawat on the noble personality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like her father, she was very, very bashful. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a very bashful human. مَا قَالَ لَا قَدْتُ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُّدِهِ لَوْلَا التَّشَهُّدُ لَكَانَتْ لَاؤُهُ نَعَمْ. There was nothing like no on the tongue of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran tells us, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ ابْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. That if you have to speak to someone and you have to decline, then it should be done in a polite way. And how Allah explains to Nabi alayhi salam, subhanAllah, look at the pattern of the Quran. ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر. We found you unaware, we guided you, we steered you, and we made you independent. Hence, when you find someone in need, then you should also give him something and not refuse him. It is very important that we have politeness. We know the famous hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha was at home, and that woman came. We've heard the hadith. She came with her two daughters, and Aisha radiallahu anha took out her dates, and she gave it to that woman. The woman gave one to one child, one to the other child. And the mother was about to eat the third one when the children looked with desire for sa'adatha nisfain. The mother split it in two and she gave half to this, half to that one. Aisha radiallahu anha did not have children. Perhaps she could not fully comprehend the sentiments in this way. One day she said, O Nabi of Allah, I don't have children. Your other wives have named themselves after their children. Umna this, umna that. I don't have any children. What name can I have for myself? Nabi alayhi salam said, no, O Aisha, nothing to bother. You are Ummu Abdullah. You will be named after your nephew. And Nabi alayhi salat was some consoled her in this way. When Aisha radiallahu anha gave this beggar this, then that woman made a dua for her. And she said, A'adhakillahu min azabil qabri. May Allah save you from the punishment of the grave. And this is very, very important. Let us ask ourselves, how much dua do we make for our children? One very pious person gave me this advice and I conveyed it was, he said, really in this time, every day without fail, a person should take out sadaqah and read 2 rakat salah to make dua for the iman of his children. Under the commentary of this ayat, when Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam's children came to him and they said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَ اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِئِينَ. Oh Father, we've transgressed and we ask you forgiveness. Now he was a Nabi, he could make dua immediately and his dua would have been accepted. But strange enough, Yaqub alayhi salam said, سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. Okay, you want me to make dua? I will make dua for you in the near future. If you open Tafsir al-Qurtubi, there are about 10 different explanations given to the wisdom in the apparent delay of the dua. Why didn't Yaqub alayhi salam lift his hands and make dua? It is written there, he waited for the day of Jum'ah. He waited for the night of Tahajjud. He waited for the early part of the... Why? Because those are the moments that duas are accepted. Hence he gave such cognizance with such passion and feelings. It's not a casual dua that he made for his children. My children have asked me for something and very passionately he selected the appropriate moment and he made dua. So this should be primary also. This woman made dua. May Allah save you from the punishment of the grave. What a dua. Today if we make that dua, say, oh, you making dua must die. If you tell someone that may Allah save you, at least say, Allah give me long life. That is the way we would look at it. أَعَاذَكِ اللَّهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Nabi alayhi salam returns home. Aisha radiallahu anha opens up. O Nabi of Allah, this woman gave me this dua. Nabi alayhi salam says, yes, this is a reality, the punishment in the grave. Aisha radiallahu anha says, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَلَّى صَلَاةً إِلَّا تَعَوَّدَ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. As long as I was in his nikah, I do not know where he terminated one namaz after which he did not ask Allah repeatedly protection from the punishment of the grave. I do not know one namaz after which. How often do we make this dua? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what happens in the throes of death? Someone comes and tells him, can I arrange for some finance? Amuru laka bi tabib, call a doctor. He says, no, at-tabibu amradhani. The doctor is Allah, he's decided my sickness. Amuru laka bi ata, can I give you some money? He says, what am I going to do with money? I'm dying. He says, yakunu li banatika min ba'di. At least take the money, give it to your daughters while you're dying. You can comfort your heart and say that, at least I know I gave my daughters some money and I'm dying. So what did he say? Atakhsha ala banati al-faqr? Are you worried that my daughters won't have food? I swear by Allah, that is not even the last concern of mine while I am dying. Inni amartu banati an yaqra'na kulla laylatin surat al-waqiyah. I have introduced my daughters to the treasures of Allah. And I have told them whoever will read Surah Waqiyah, Allah will divinely protect them. Wallah, that is not my concern regarding the material condition of my daughters. So brothers, we have to take our time and make dua. We have to sit with our children. Have some time. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had a lot of time. You see, we don't have time even in the social life. We will have to give up some of those things which have taken up quality time. You study the social life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a lot of time. Look at Hassan radiallahu anhu. When the Nabi of Allah passes away, he is 6 years of age. And at that age, he conveys few hadith to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our 6-year-old child, whatever he will convey, say, you know what, you better verify what he says. I don't know if he's saying the right thing. He conveys the hadith, da'ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. He says, I used to sit in my nana's lap, that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and while playing, my nana taught me this hadith. What words of advice for our Nana? That when you come and play with your grandchildren, while you're playing with them and taking them in your lap, even at that time, even in the humor of Nabi alayhi salam, he taught deen and he showed such kindness. There was one person who used to live on the outskirts of Medina. His name was Zahir. People generally never had a lot of time for him. But Nabi Sassam was very fond of him. Nabi Sassam said, Inna Zahiran Badiyatana wa nahnu hadiruhu. The riwayat comes in Mishkat Sharif. That Zahir is our contact in Medina and I am his contact in the villages and I am his contact in Medina. Whenever I need anything from the village, Zahir will get it from me. And in Medina, if he needs, he will get it from me. So he used to come to Medina and he used to open his table and he used to sell. So one day he was standing, Nabi Sassam came from the back, from the rear, took his blessed hands and blocked his sight. Now who is this? That person who came so close to Allah that even Jibreel could not journey beyond that. But his social life was such that one person in the town there, who generally people did not have regard for, the Nabi of Allah brought him so close. Nabi alayhi salam held him. And then he said, May yashtari hadha al-abda. I'm selling this man, he's for sale, I'm auctioning him. Come have him. So this sahabi started feeling, of course, when he felt the palms of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the softness, the gentleness, the tenderness, what words can describe. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, and again look at the couplets of Aisha, again it was a woman. She used to say, Lana shamsu walil afaqi shamsu, wa shamsi khayrun min shamsi sama. فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَطْلَعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ وَشَمْسِي طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ. One is the sun that brightens the world and one is my Nabi. But my sun that is my Nabi is better than the sun that brightens the world. Half the world is in brightness, the other half is in darkness. My Nabi radiates light 24 hours. So he felt the palms, he realized that this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, you are selling me, but then I am very cheap. I am not valuable. إِذَنْ تَجِدُنِي كَاسِدًا. What will you make out of me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَكِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدٍ. Perhaps in the eyes of people you are cheap, but in the eyes of Allah you are the most valuable sahabi of mine. So what I'm saying is, Hassan radiallahu anhu, at the tender age of 6, he says, sitting in the lap of my nana, I learned these ahadith, and I moved on from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is what we need to learn also, that take out some of quality time and sit with our children and convey deen to them. In this, imagine, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts him at the back. We know the hadith. While traveling, what an opportunity to convey deen to our children. They are riding on one conveyance, kana radifan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered as the conqueror of Makkah, some riwayat suggest his grandchild, the son of Zainab radiallahu anha, the son of Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, was mounted with him behind him on the same conveyance. He enters as the conqueror of the Makkah, as the conqueror of Makkah. He was so humble that his chin was touching the back of the camel. And he puts his grandchild with him. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the words of the hadith say ghulam, which means a small child. But while riding with him, Nabi alayhi salam taught him so much of deen. We are traveling, we are going on holiday. In that little while, how much deen we can disseminate and impart to our children. Nabi alayhi salam teaches him the whole history of deen. The whole aspect of taqdeer has been condensed in that hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Under the commentary of وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَتْرِي Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ubay ibn Kaab, and Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu have written that it is compulsory for every Muslim to believe whatever happens has happened through the will of Allah. It was impossible for that not to happen. And whatever did not happen, it was impossible for that to happen. And then these three sahaba said, if this is not the conviction of your heart, I'm afraid your abode is Jahannam. Now, all the aspects of taqdeer has been summarized in these teachings. Let me take you to that hadith of Fatima and wrap it up, inshallah. My honorable Ustaz Mullah Shabir Sahib will conclude. Fatima radiallahu anha comes in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she praises Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She sends durood on salat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then in a humble way she says, oh my father, we are hungry at home. Now we know what an emotional moment that must be for a father to see his daughter eye and eye, and the daughter has absolutely nothing, there is no food and provision. We know what a sensitive meeting it is. It is so challenging, Allah Ta'ala mustn't test us in that situation. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam cries in all human sentiments, but then he composes himself. And then he says, Fatima, I have 5 sheep which was brought and given to me. If you want, I give you the sheep, you take it home. وَإِنْ شِئْتِي عَلَّمْتُكِ خَمْسَ كَلِمَاتٍ عَلَّمَنِيهِنَّ جِبْرِيلٍ. And if you want, I will teach you 5 words of deen. And that will satisfy your hunger today also, satisfy your hunger after your father is gone also. One was to say, oh my daughter, take the sheep also and take the du'as also. But that wasn't the reaction of Nabi alayhi salam. There is a price for deen. There is a price for this deen. Make a choice, oh my daughter. And this is very important. Either you take deen, look at that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Man ahabba dunyahu adharra bi akhiratihi. Simple hadith, but it gives us the reasons how to navigate and how to prioritize. Nabi alayhi salam says, whoever loves this world passionately, vehemently, would inevitably harm his world. Whoever loves this world will harm his deen. And whoever loves his deen passionately will have to harm his dunya. Now ask these parents, when you had to see your daughter become a hafiz, or when a father, at times you'll have to go late to work. At times you'll have to knock off early. At times you get in delay because I got to take my son to madrasa, I got to fetch him back, I got to get in touch with this ustad, it's going to necessitate some compromise in my dunya. But then ask myself, why has my Allah given me these children? And what is honor for me? What is virtue for me? لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُتِعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. There is nothing more soothing to the eye of a believer than to find his children reciting Quran. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Fatima, decide what you want. She's saying this on a hungry stomach. One is on a full stomach, saying, give me those du'as. That's easy. On a hungry stomach. When you understand that is the only thing. The people in Ashabi Kahf, they slept for 3 centuries. A person has a roza and at the time of iftar, his hunger cannot be described. Imagine a man that is hungry for 3 centuries. Allah keep them alive, of course, in their sleep. When they awaken from such a long sleep, what they say? فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Go fetch food and whatever happens, make sure it's halal. When we are hungry and then what happens? Make sure it's tasty. The Quran explains, غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَاد. These two principles need to be applied in life. Today a person says, yeah, but you know what, I'm in a catch-22 situation, I don't know what to do, I mean, this awkward. Allah explains that wherever a person has to do something which essentially is forbidden, given the complexities of the situation, if he has to indulge or involve or participate or contribute to that particular sexual act, then two things are of vital importance. غَيْرَ بَاغْ وَلَا عَاد. It should not be done relishly and it should not be done beyond necessity. For whatever reason, a man has to interact with a strange woman in the commercial world. Allah is conscious of your intention. Allah is conscious of the extent of necessity. Sayyidina Luqman advised his son and said, Ya bunayya, imshi wara al-asad, wala tamshi wara al-mar'a. Wow. Oh my son, in the outside world you are vulnerable. If the need calls, walk behind a lion. You are safer there. Do not put yourself in fitna and walk behind a woman. If it happens to be walk behind a lion, what did he tell his son? And this is the world, we know how vulnerable our children are outside. A father telling his son, look at how crude it sounds, yet how true it is. Ya bunayya ad-dunya bahrun amiq. Oh my son, let me tell you in 2 words, this world is a deep ocean. And let me tell you from the beginning, the tides are rough. The water is deep and the tides are rough. قَدْ غَرَقَ فِيهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخَرُونَ. I've seen a lot of people drowning in this ocean. فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ فَاجْعَلْ سَفِينَتَكَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. If you can, make the fear of Allah a boat for you. وَزَادُكَ عَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ. And your provision, let it be acts of nobility. لَعَلَّكَ أَنْ تَنْجُو وَلَا أَرَاكَ نَاجِيًا. Perhaps you swim across this ocean, but I doubt it. Nabi alayhi salam says, Fatima, make a choice. We know how vulnerable we are in this time. And the person who lacks this tarbiyah, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ مَنْ إِنْتَهَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَاهُ مِنْ هَمِّ الْحَيَاءِ. That there are 2 types of orphans. One is that orphan who literally lost his biological father and is deprived of the shadow of his father. And one is that person who enjoys the presence of biological parents, but they're so engrossed and occupied that the child in the presence, the other day one youngster came to me. He was so traumatized, I tried to, you know, calm him down. He told me his problems, he wants to get married. I said, can we speak to your parents first? He said, my mother is terminally ill. I said, what about your father? He said, don't even talk of my father. My father is a stressed individual. These were his words. I said, he says he's a stressed individual. He doesn't know what goes on. His commitment in his business is so overwhelming. It has gripped him up. Undoubtedly, raising children today has taken the toll on the best of people, on the noblest of people. It would mean that we make our business life more flexible, so that it gives us more quality time. We cry to Allah, we spend time with our family. As Mawlana Shabir Sahib always mentions, and let me use this platform again to mention what Mawlana says and echo his sentiments, that we would never dare leave our child with a stranger for a moment. Yet we opt leaving our children with the devil, box, and the worst of enemies, never mind strangers, for days. And they poison the minds of our children in the direction they want. Nabi Sassim told Fatima, make a choice. Fatima said, oh my father, leave the sheep, give me the five words. Give me the five words. If you say it will soothe my hunger, I will take it. Nabi alayhi salam said, say after me, O Fatima, Ya awwal al-awwaleen, wa ya akhir al-akhireen, wa ya rahim al-masakeen, ya dhal quwwati al-mateen, ya arham al-rahimeen. Brothers, I have said it, you have heard it. It was the hunger of Fatima that was the price of this dua. Neither I can understand it, nor you can understand it. Where can we appreciate this year? One of my asatiza used to always mention that like everything else is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam to occasionally come home and despite there have been food in the kitchen, tell the wife, today I'm sleeping hungry, I want to sleep occasionally how my Nabi slept every day. And then he said, you get up for Fajr and you tell me that Fajr. He said, everything else also is a sunnah. This is also a sunnah that you come home and say, no, whatever it is, cook, I'm not eating. I want to occasionally sleep like how my Nabi slept every day. Fatima radiallahu anha takes those du'as and she returns. Brothers, let's pause for a moment. Imagine your wife sends you with a shopping list and you return with a du'a. She sends you with a nice shopping list and you come back home with a du'a. And then I met one Maulana on the way. I met one Jamaat brother, mashallah. He said, no, you know what? You rather do this here and you'll see the barakat. What would be the reaction at home? On the contrary, we know if you don't bring it in the right packing, it's a problem. One brother told me, he says, one day I came home, I brought tomatoes in a packet. My wife says, not this one here, you've got to bring it the one in that wooden box. I said, oh, okay, I know where to get that. I went outside, I found a box, put it together, put the tomatoes inside, and I brought it home. My wife said, that's the one I'm looking for. Anyway, Fatima radiallahu anha returning was a dua. Her children are hungry there. Ali radiallahu anha is passionately waiting. The Nabi of Allah could see his daughter returning hungry, but her deen was established into his daughter. What did Umar ibn Abdul Aziz tell his daughters? He came home, he found his daughters, foul smell was emitting from the mouth. So he asked his wife, what's the matter? She said, well, you haven't left behind any food, I couldn't really cook. He looked at it and he cried. He said, oh my daughters, it's not a nice sight for your father to see. But I swear by Allah, your father can see you hungry, your father can't see you burning in Jahannam. How many parents aren't they today that can see Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who Nabi of Allah said, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ, one day said, إِنَّكُمْ أُبْتُلِيتُمْ بِفِتْنَةِ الضَّرَّى فَصَبَرْتُمْ. You were tested with difficulty and you endured. وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ السَّرَّى. But I fear an era of prosperity. وَهِيَ النِّسَاءِ إِذَا تَحَلَّيْنَ بِالذَّهَبِ وَلَبِسْنَ رِيطَ الشَّامِ وَعَصْبَ الْيَمَنِ فَأَتْعَبْنَ الْغَنِيِّ وَكَلَّفْنَ الْفَقِيرَ مَا لَا يُطَاقُ. I see an era of prosperity that is to come, and I'm afraid the men of this ummah will not able to resist that challenge. And this is that era when the woman will come, لَبِسْنَ رِيطَ الشَّامِ, who will insist on wearing the fine garments of Sham, وَعَصْبَ الْيَمَنِ, and wearing the crowns of Yemen, فَأَتْعَبْنَ الْغَنِي, they will tire the wealthy husband from spending on them, وَكَلَّفْنَ الْفَقِيرَ مَا لَا يُطَاقُ, and they will burden the poor husband with that which is beyond his ability. Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, I fear that era is coming. And what did the Nabi of Allah say regarding Khadija? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam praised her by said that آمَنَتْ بِي إِذْ كَفَرَنِيَ النَّاسِ. She brought iman on me when people denied me. وَوَاسَتْنِي بِمَالِهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِيَ النَّاسِ. She did not take my money, she gave me her money. وَوَاسَتْنِي, when people deprived me, she gave me money. Nabi sallallahu said, إِنِّي رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا. Allah has inspired me with her love. Brothers, we can continue speaking. It is high time, as I mentioned in my open comments, that we look at the lives of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As these girls will be graduating, let us stretch an envious eye to them. These are indeed the young girls to whom our heart should aspire. These are the people. Today it's an honor in front of 2,000 people. Imagine the jalsa when Allah will host it. And Allah will call these girls forward and Allah will show them honor. And Allah will make them, may Allah make them and us those that are hamilul Quran. One is the Hafiz of the Quran, one is the Hamil of the Quran. There's a great difference between the two. One is those that preserve it. And this should be the concern of my sister, that we take this deen, like someone said, لَوْ نَفَعَ الْعِلْمُ بِلَا عَمَلٍ لَمَا دَمَّ اللَّهُ أَحْبَارَ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. If words benefited without practicing, Allah wouldn't have condemned the scholars of the previous nations. The Ahle Kitab, Allah speaks about them, the ulama. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. That they had information, but they did not live up to it. وَلَوْ نَفَعَ الْعِلْمُ وَلَوْ نَفَعَ الْأَمَلُ بِلَا إِخْلَاسٍ لَمَا ذَمَّ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And if actions benefited without ikhlas, Allah wouldn't have condemned the munafiqeen. They performed salah, but Allah condemned them and said, يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Why there was no ikhlas? So let us stretch an envious eye, and let us see how Quran comes into our life. This great month of Ramadan is coming. I was reading the biography of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. Mawlana's mother, in the month of Ramadan, it was her practice. Just the other day I was speaking about the aspect of barakat in our life. Never mind anything else, time, the aspect of time, we let it. You ask a woman today, she daily puts up the food pots, she sees to the house, the washing, and it's already midday. I'm not yet ready for this. Where is the time? Where is the time? When Jalaluddin Suyuti says, I compiled the tafsir of 15 juz of the Quran in 40 days. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Muhaddith Masruq, rahmatullah alayhi, commentating of this ayat, where Allah will ask every person, did I not give you a sufficient life wherein if you wanted to recognize me, you could have recognized me? He says it is a lifespan of 18. Once a person has been given a life of 18, the doors of excuses will be shut for him. We see in our very so-called limited time, we say time is against us, yet in that one day, so many material things we achieve. As a woman, the house gets clean, the cupboards are spring clean, the lawn is seen to, the clothes are washed, this is done tidy, these phone calls, this baking, this cooking, so much. On the other hand, the men, this deal is done, this documents are signed, this container coming, that one dispatched. In the very same so-called limited time, yet so much accomplishments of this world. Because we haven't made the intention of deen, deen hasn't become our object, hence we don't see the barakat. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali's mother, in the month of Ramadan, daily she used to recite one entire Quran and 10 extra sifaras. 40 sifaras daily. Then she used to read 5,000 times durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then she used to come in the kitchen and she used to make dua, Allah, this is my Quran, you accept my son. You and I maybe read one Surah Fatiha and we blow, Allah, look after my child. Read Ayatul Kursi, give a 20 cent in sadaqah, Allah in a hacho, Allah, look after him. She used to read one Quran and then say, Allah, take care of my child. What didn't Allah do through the hands of this child? But look at the barakat that Allah gave her. We always, at every Ramadan, we make an intention that for this Ramadan, I'm going to obey Allah. For Ramadan, we tell the children, you know, don't look at the devil box, be functional with your salah, I'm going to lengthen my beard, I will recite Quran. People who do not start their day with Fajr in Ramadan, they start it with Tahajjud. People who don't listen to Quran in Ramadan, they complete the Quran. It is unfortunate we restrict our intention to Ramadan, so Allah's help is proportionate to Ramadan. Why do we program ourselves to Ramadan? We say Ramadan, accordingly Allah helps. Let's say from today onwards. And Mawlana, let me leave you with these words. Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, Jo zindagi guzarega Ramzan ki tara, maut aayegi uske paas Eid ke chand ki tara. The one who will live his whole life like Ramadan, who will live his whole life, you look at the woman, what tahajjud, what salah, what ibadat, that one who will live his whole life like he or she loves it in Ramadan, the angel of death will come to her with the same joy with which we receive the crescent of Eid. May Allah Ta'ala accept and inspire one and all, accept our get together, reward the sisters and take them from strength to strength. And congratulations once again to their parents, to their muallima, to this madrasa. May Allah Ta'ala take it from strength to strength and make this the means of many more of this coming into existence, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.